Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. This is Peter Angood from National Quality Forum, and this is our Patient Safety Advisory Committee meeting. Thank you for finding some time in your busy schedules to join us. This will be our last meeting for the PSAC, and unless things change in the near future, we will certainly keep your name on record, and if there is need to reconvene the group, we'll certainly go ahead with that in the future. For the time being, this will be the last meeting. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Eric Colchamara to do a roll call for us, and then we have a fairly brief agenda for today. Eric?
Thanks, Peter. If when you hear your name, you could please just indicate present or just say hello, that would be great. Dr. James Bajan.
I heard him a few minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah, I think you heard him. Dr. Jane Barnsteiner.
Present.
Mr. Robert Bunting.
Present.
Dr. David Klassen.
Here.
Dr. Mike Cohen is out. Mike is amidst some international travel. Dr. Charles Denham.
Chuck Denham is here.
Thanks.
Great. Welcome, Chuck. Mr. Dan Ford.
Here.
Dr. Bruce Hall. Ms. Helen Haskell.
She's not going to join.
Okay. Mr. John Hickner.
Here.
Mr. David Knowlton. Ms. Nancy Lavelle.
I'm here, thank you.
Dr. David Mayer. Dr. Philip Miller.
Here.
Ms. Denise Murphy.
Yes, I'm here.
Dr. Rita Shane.
Here.
Welcome, Rita. Dr. Arjun Sharma.
Present.
Mr. Sam Watson.
Yes, hello.
Hi. And Dr. Bob Weirs. Alrighty.
Great. That's a good showing. Hopefully most of you have had an opportunity to sign into the website. And basically what we are going to do today is just sort of have the final review of this document that has been gradually developed with your folks.
Please hear where you want to
and advice. The committee has convened over the past year or thereabouts with its primary purpose to advise NQF on its existing patient safety portfolio and to provide some insights for possible future directions for that portfolio. I believe that we have done that. We've had good inputs and good discussions from the committee members throughout this process, and both Eric and myself and a few others in addition have reviewed the meeting minutes from the different calls and face-to-face minutes, face-to-face meetings. And I believe that as we brought this report together, we have stayed true to those minutes, at least as near as I can tell. If anyone feels differently, then by all means, please express those opinions. The report that has been developed was in part as a result of Eric's drafting of the report, my review and editing in the context of these Patient Safety Advisory Committee minutes, and then as well the review of the different surveys we had done with you folks, and in the final step was to also get your inputs either through verbal interaction or through written comments. And I have been impressed by the level of input overall. As is often the case when writing reports, you always have to question yourself, well, does the report reflect accurately what we discussed, and does it adequately reflect what we discussed, and does it adequately reflect the opinions that we want to see brought forward in a report such as this? And so Today's meeting primarily is for us to have a look one last time and to see if this is still a report that resonates with the group, recognizing that you've all had opportunities to input on the report multiple times. And if there are some last-minute tweaks and changes or suggestions, we're happy to make those, reflecting your input and discussion. And then as we close that off, the report will be presented to NQF leadership overall and will provide the basis for future planning of the patient safety portfolio for NQF. With those as opening comments, perhaps, Eric, you could shift us over to the redline version of the report. And what I'm going to suggest, let me ask first, is how many of you do not have access to the website and the report as we move it through a scrolling period? Is there anybody not available to look at this on the website? Sounds like everybody's got access, which is great. So we'll go through, I think, briefly, but obviously with open discussion, page by page, not necessarily word by word, and we'll see if there's any comments as we go through page by page. There's only about 10 pages of, or 9 pages of text in order to do this. I think it's expeditious. I certainly don't want us to be burdened by micro-editing word by word by word, but we certainly need to have opportunity for comments. Dan Ford submitted a comment a little bit earlier today. So after we've gone through, or at the appropriate time, Dan, just provide us some commentary on your comments.
Sure.
Okay. So does anyone have other suggestions as to how they would like to see this report reviewed today? This is just one way we can do it, but if others have better suggestions, I'm open to hearing those. Okay. So, Eric, can we go to the first page then? And hopefully everyone will be able to see this. There was a few editorial typos in this first page, as well as a suggestion from Rita to bring forward the five areas for further development up to the front of the document as opposed to having it towards the end of the document in conclusion.
Peter, this is Dan. Is it possible to get the type size a little larger? Is that
yes.
It?
By all means, Eric, you're on the end of that.
Yes. I will do my best with that. There's a maximize button if you haven't pressed it on your computer. And then this document was also sent around to committee members twice.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a hard copy. I was trying to look at it online, too, and I have maximized it. So
yeah,
I can do with a hard copy.
All right. But I will see what I can do to maximize it even further. But we are under the kind of the limitations of the system to some degree. So
one of the strategies that I've found, for those of you that are using Internet Explorer, is on the bottom right, you can increase the size of your own computer's screen size and go up to 150% magnification, and I find that helpful from my viewing.
And it is.
Well,
it just,
much better. Thank
it?
You.
Yep, there we
great.
Go.
So any comments on the document? On the first page. At this rate, we'll be through in 5 minutes.
This is Denise. I have a question. You know, we still hear the term never events used a lot, and of course, you know, we prefer the serious reportable event language. Does it make sense to comment on that, to make it really clear that that language is no longer used, or is that just getting too into the weeds?
Well, Denise, it's a great comment, and I wish I could easily tell you that's what we need to do. as I've been listening to some of the interactions going on since the healthcare reform legislation has been signed, the term in all areas of never events continues to be utilized. I think it's a colloquial term that's going to persist. I think CMS is continuing to utilize that, and the term of hospital or healthcare acquired conditions as well is persisting. This is one man's opinion, and I'm certainly open to others. I'm not sure it's going to make much difference to try to make a statement in the document this way.
Okay, thank you. That's important to know. I appreciate it.
We do have the serious reportable events review underway still, and in that report, we will be making some comments about it as well. Other comments, other suggestions?
Well, at the end, I think you're going to come back to, like, next steps and so forth. So that's probably the best place to reserve comments about.
All right, let's go to the next page then, Eric, please. This page, as I remember, is pretty clean overall.
Mm-hmm.
Just scroll for everybody's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Just some typographical suggestions. Next page, Eric. Really no changes on that page. We'll keep scrolling.
On to page 6 here.
Now we're continuing to assume that everyone has had opportunity to read the document, has had opportunity to formulate their thoughts and ideas and reflect back on what we've been doing for some time. And as we go through this final evaluation, if there are any other last-minute thoughts or ideas that pop in, please don't hesitate to make mention.
Is there any value in having an appendix that includes the 106 safety measures, of which the 80, of the which include the 81 that were NQF endorsed, or and the other 48? I'm just wondering, does that have any sustaining value in terms of the intended audience of this report?
It's certainly a good suggestion, and I think it's something we can easily do, recognizing that the listing of measures is an ever-changing list.
Well, as organizations, and this is one of my future competencies, as organizations like my own, which is an acute health system, look at prioritizing and identifying where to focus efforts, trying to be proactive in terms of preventing harm, things that are well evidence-based and evaluated and validated are always the things, a good place to start.
I would agree. I think having to deal with policies most of our lives, people will often say, even if you provide an appendix that if someone wants to refer to it, they can, but it's hard to jump from document to find information if you want to go to one spot and
mm-hmm.
can either through
mm-hmm.
a link or an appendix get to
mm-hmm.
The references. I think I would agree with that recommendation
mm-hmm.
if we could do it.
Happy to do that. Easily enough done, yes. Thank you.
I'd actually agree with the link idea just because
that's
of the evolution of the measures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have this serious reportable events report coming up. We also have this other project that is related to patient safety measures. There's a fair amount of healthcare-acquired infection measurement in there as well. Some of our other projects not directly related to safety have measures that you would consider to be safety-oriented. And so we'll do the links and we'll provide the current listing as best as we have it as an appendix. We'll do both.
This is I think that would be great because this report is intended for this point in time, and that's for the ones that are out there now would be relevant to this report. If it changes, then it would link them to as it moves forward. But
By all means. Thank you. Good suggestions. Keep scrolling then, Eric.
On to page 7.
Again, most of the suggestions have been typographical and some clarifications. We did not get that much in the way of content suggestions. And the relative low frequency or low incidence of comments, I take that the committee members had reviewed the information we had given them in the minutes, et cetera, and are comfortable with how the content has come together.
Yes, it reads well. It's a well-done document.
I thought it captured a lot of what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I agree. I could really see how it reflects the discussions that we've had.
Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear those comments, not from our writing style, but the fact that the group is seeing what they said.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the target.
I agree, too.
Okay, Eric, keep on.
Are we on page 8 now?
We are in the recommendation sections primarily.
The phrase prioritize harm and guide clearly seemed a little nebulous to me, although it's explained below that. I just wonder if a better title for that bullet could be developed.
Do you have a suggestion, John? You're always got good language. Do you have suggestions?
I'll think about it. I don't have one right off the top.
All righty. Anybody else want to take a stab at that one?
Well, prioritize harm and provide guidance or provide guidelines or something like that. Just guide clearly is a little bit awkward.
And Peter, what's the deadline to get this, Chuck, to get it all wrapped up? Is there any more tweak cycle or is this it?
This is the tweak cycle, yep. Right.
Gotcha.
Prioritize harm and provide clear guidance.
Yeah,
I like that. That sounds good.
And Peter, it's David Klassen. There's a new OIG report coming that may play a role in this report, and I wonder if that might lead one final tweak to this. It should be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It will be a major new study of safety in the Medicare population.
Yeah, I've been aware of that one, Dave, and if it's the same one you're talking about, that one's kind of been coming out since springtime, though.
I know. It's been coming out since springtime, but I'm told it will be out in the next several weeks.
And that's what I hear. I hear as well. I think it is threatening. It's been threatening, too, for some time, but I think it was presented inside CMS and got thumbs up as far as I understand it, so I think it's going to be forthcoming.
It probably will impact this, Peter, so maybe what we should say is if we, after we read that, we think there's some tweaks, maybe that's the final tweaks that go into this.
I'm open to that. By all means, we want to be as contemporary as we can.
This is Denise. Before we move off of page 8, I just have a question for the group. I don't mean this to be nitpicking, but I want to make sure there's no confusion. Up in the first paragraph where it talks about appropriate measures that will result in minimizing healthcare-associated infections, HAIs, surgical site infections, SSIs, and serious reportable events, it just jumped out at me, and I apologize if I didn't pick this up in a previous version to comment on, but I think of the whole spectrum of healthcare-associated infections as including device-related infections, surgical site infections, MDROs, you know, things like that. So why do we call out SSIs from the larger grouping of healthcare-associated infections?
Yeah, the reason for that was there was a meeting that was actually held late July that focused in primarily on perioperative care.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of the meeting, there was clearly focus on preventing HAIs in all those fashions you just described. But we also specifically focused on SSI for two reasons. One, our meeting was on perioperative care, And secondly, as you well know, within the HAI action plan, SSI is an important one as well. So it's context for that particular meeting that occurred.
So you could put especially surgical site infections.
Yes. Insert that one word would help.
Yeah, I think that would be great. So then people aren't thinking that they're not classified as an SSI because they are still under that umbrella, but with special focus on it. I like that wording. Thank you.
Yep. That's a good catch. Thank you. And, Eric, another catch that I should have caught a while back is that a third component or fourth component of this meeting was augmenting cross-disciplinary team function in the perioperative environment. I should have picked that up, and my apologies. So, so we'll work on a wordsmith of that final sentence to incorporate those two things, the especially surgical site infections, and there'll be a brief mention of cross-disciplinary team function. So lines 166 and below that redlined out area, that's just the section that was moved forward up into the front of the document. And Eric, if you want to scroll down further. So just line 176 then was prioritize harm and provide clear guidance. Was that how I remember hearing it, John?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, keep scrolling.
The end of this page.
The end is the end?
Yeah, it's the end of this page, so if you're ready for page 9.
Yeah, keep going, please.
Very good.
Peter, this is Phil Mailer with regard to page 9.
Yes.
I'm a little concerned given the fact that CMS has, I think, announced yesterday or Friday that they're not going to do the public reporting of the hacks because of the data discrepancy. They were planning on releasing that, as you know, tomorrow. And there were major flaws in the data. I'm a little worried, or I wonder if we shouldn't be a bit more directive about the whole issue of public reporting. What I'm hearing is that these data with regard to the hacks that they were going to release were totally inaccurate in a number of regards, and I know our own data for Denver Health were very different than what we saw on the preliminary public reporting that they were supposed to release when we saw some pre-release data. And I'm a little worried since a big message of, I think, what we've done is that we believe in this and we think we have to be more transparent with it, but this is sort of a less than optimal start to CMS's foray into the hack data.
Right. Well, that's a very good point, Phil, and I'll add on to the comments by reminding the group that a third project we've been working on has been the development of a framework report on the issues related to public reporting of patient safety events. And we did not put that in here because it had not been formally approved by our board at NQF as yet. We're just doing the final electronic approvals of that document, and it looks like it's going to clear the board. And so that particular document does address many of the concerns for having valid publicly reported information. So we can make a mention of that document now and clean up that paragraph beginning on line 198, if that makes sense to you.
This is Rita. Could we add something as this group's recommendation? And maybe this is exactly what you're saying, Peter, is going to be included, but something about the importance of the integrity and accuracy of data utilized in public reporting is paramount. Then to that statement add, a framework has been developed to support accuracy and data integrity to enable, well, you know, increased transparency, whatever. But I think I would agree. It's interesting. We just had the same reaction here in my organization where the data is not, you know, doesn't reflect our data.
Right.
We actually talked about it this morning at 7:30. So I think that if there's going to be public reporting, there needs to be a responsibility to ensure that the integrity of the data is there and it's accurate.
Okay.
And I think the concerns, this is Phil again, is that it seems like the reality test didn't come from within CMS, but came from participating organizations saying these data don't make any sense, and you wonder how it sort of got to that stage and how it wasn't caught, you know, just 48 hours before it was supposed to be released. I would also say in that regard that I wonder if in this paragraph, since we talk about, again, healthcare reform and healthcare access, et cetera, whether it makes sense to put in a line about sort of accountable care organizations, because really the focus, much of the focus of this is really on, quote, hacks. But you sort of wonder in that since a big push is being made towards more integrated system and more medical homes and more accountable care organizations, should there be a comment about the fact that these events may not become apparent in the hospital setting, but yet tie back to the hospital, cause readmissions, et cetera? Would this be the paragraph just for us to mention that to really be in line where a lot of energy is now going?
Another good suggestion, Phil. We can certainly do that.
Peter, this is Bob. I find all of this discussion quite interesting. The last comment especially dovetails into what I was going to say, and that is, you know, all of this is very fluid at this point. This certainly is not final by any stretch of the imagination, and whether you're looking at acute care or other places of services, this is going to continue to grow. But I thought one of the comments was going to go down this way, so since it didn't, let me for just a minute, but one of the concerns is that by CMS, but there's not been a good discussion about nominators.
Bob,
yes.
Bob, can I interrupt you for half a second? For some reason, just as you started to describe what you wanted to say, you cut out for a good 3 to 5 seconds, and we missed the front end of your sentence.
Okay, that's fine. There was a lot of background noise on somebody's phone, so let me try to restart. But there's been a lot of discussion about numerators, but not a lot of discussion about denominators. And also the comment about acute care versus downstream effects. We, as an organization, proposed about 12 to 15 questions to CMS earlier this year. There was a mandatory report that was due on May 31st, and we asked for clarification about some of those issues, such as the infections. My experience with infection control made us ask, well, do we look at these after 30 days? And if it's implantable, do we look at them after 365 days? And CMS said yes, and they, in fact, just incorporated that into their federal register guidelines that were published, I believe, in May. And I also try to get interest from the national organizations like the Association, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, and CMS, to at least discuss rates based on numerators and denominators. And it was hard to get traction. So I recently published an article where I addressed rates for the hospital-acquired conditions. It's certainly not by any stretch of the imagination a definitive article, but it was designed to at least generate the discussion of the importance of rates versus numerators. For example, if you have a numerator and you go from 50 to 45, you say you went down by 10%. But if your base number, the denominator, decreased by 20%, then actually your rate increased. And there's not a lot of discussion about that. And I had not heard that CMS was getting ready to release their public report. So I'm not familiar with what form it will be in. Does anybody know if that's just going to be volume, or will it be also incorporate rates as well?
I myself haven't heard directly as yet. Anyone else, Phil or Chuck or anyone? Doesn't sound like anybody else has heard either as yet.
This is Phil. It's based on it's a hack rate per 100,000, and basically they give you the number of eligible discharges that you have and the number of hacks that you had at your hospital in those categories, and thus your rate. And then they have a comparison to the number of hacks that occurred nationally, and the number and the national hack rate per 100,000. So it is a rate. And what we had heard, and I actually saw something written about this, that they were going to release this information on September 28th, tomorrow, and that they did this pre-release in order to get some feedback. And I understand that it was that preview of their hacked data by a number of institutions, there was a backlash to say these data don't make any sense.
Well, that's interesting. We're probably getting beyond the scope of this discussion, Peter, and I don't want to hijack the conversation, but I find that very interesting. And you know, I think that our work on this committee may be done, but this subject is very much fluid and will continue to morph, I think, very quickly over time.
Well,
yeah,
actually,
I'll add
to that. I don't think our work is done here because the OIG report is going to challenge the validity of hacks as well.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and then there'll be a couple more big publications that will come before the end of the year that will further challenge this.
Well, we will.
This is really undecided.
Yeah, no, I agree with each of the comments made in the last few minutes. And so what we'll do is look more closely at this paragraph beginning on line 198, try to incorporate the concepts that have just been made mention. We'll give a short bit of time to see if this OIG report really does come out. And then depending if it does or not, we may look at having some final qualifier sentence at the end of this report, basically saying or reiterating the concept that David just made, and that this is an evolving, ever-changing playing field right now, and this is kind of the status as of, you know, September, October 2010, but stay tuned.
Peter, this is Dan. I can comment about my suggestion.
Yes, please, Dan. That'd be good.
Given the themes to guide the future development of the portfolio, which is the introductory sentence to these three bullets, I suggested adding another bullet after the harmonized one to be called something like partnering of patients/families with providers. Sentence that could read after that, as a matter of principle and practice, patients and families should be invited to participate actively along with providers on all related committees in the discussion and development of future portfolio development. I guess that's redundant there, in the discussion of future portfolio development. And, you know, if I don't know if this works for the rest of you, if it causes any related thoughts or does it fit elsewhere.
So, Dan, now that you've got everybody's attention, maybe you could just repeat what you said so everybody can cue in and focus for a critical comment as opposed to just trying to hear what you heard.
Okay. Suggested adding after the harmonized bullet, another bullet that says partnering of patients/families with providers. Reading again, and I'll elaborate quickly. As a matter of principle and practice, patients and families should be invited to participate actively along with providers and all related committees in the discussion and future portfolio development. What you're doing on this committee, what you've done to add Helen and myself, even though everyone on the committee is really a patient and/or a family member at some point, you've added a couple people with that specific intention. The safe practices deal with this, the development of those, and I would suggest it as a theme, as a theme for future such development that you do the same and intentionally involve patients and families.
So I agree.
I agree, but I think it encompasses some of the things from line 214 onwards.
This is Jane. I absolutely agree. And however, I would suggest that we delete the should be invited, but that as a matter of principle and practice, patients and families will be active participants with providers. This is certainly in line with all the Institute of Medicine reports, and but invitation still hearkens to me as not patients and families not being partners. And so I would suggest we strike the should be invited.
Support that.
I think that's a good...
This is Sam. Just at the ARC annual conference, and a question like this came up during the plenary session, and the number one response was patient engagement. So I think it's very in keeping with where we are.
Okay, good. Dan, it sounds like there's pretty strong support for the addition of that bullet.
That's great.
Arjun, you were trying to make a comment about placement, though. Could you just repeat that? I think it got lost.
Yes, certainly, Peter. It looks like the comments, I agree with them entirely, but they look like they are more pertinent to line 214 onwards.
So, Eric, Eric's just doing a quick shift for us here.
And, you know, if you look at line 214 onwards in the context of what's just been discussed, we actually, it looks like there's some redundancy there because if patients are recognized as inherently part of the stakeholders, it starts to repeat itself. Because the broader issue is ongoing engagement of the broader patient safety community, and everything underneath it is almost like a sub-bullet.
Yeah, I guess kind of what we were thinking with that language was the patient safety community, like, you know, other organizations similar to ours. And so including both patients and families should probably just be struck away from that bullet.
Okay.
And then maybe add in Dan's bullet here if people think this placement is better.
Makes sense.
You okay with that, Dan?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll place that in here, and we'll just limit that first bullet to ongoing engagement with the broader patient safety community. We'll make the patient and family bullet second, and then the other bullets will follow, if everyone is comfortable with that.
Yep.
Okay. I believe, Eric, we've reviewed the document, have we not?
This is correct.
All right. Any other comments, suggestions, ideas? Those have been all important inputs, and I take David's suggestion to heart about hanging out a little bit longer, waiting for OIG, although 5 months has already been time.
I had a couple comments. So if we go back to the introduction and the, I guess, 5 bullet points of the areas for further development.
Sure.
Looking at, I guess, having had the privilege of being a part of this group and now looking at, I guess, outcomes and deliverables that I would see each of us wanting to then use in our respective settings and disciplines. The first 2 bullets really strike me as, so what's next, and how are these going to evolve to become kind of the framework that we work with? So I remember the discussion we had in Washington was about let's focus on where harm is, and I guess I'm looking for something really simplistic, and I know it may not exist today, but where's the list of things that cause the most harm, and how do I prioritize the measures to prevent repetition of errors? I'm looking at this as a provider. And so I guess that my question is, how are those 2 things that to me are so high on at least my priority list, and I think on the priority list of most people in the healthcare environment, how are those going to become the most visible for so that people can avail themselves of this information and actually put it to use, you know, as soon as possible?
Right. So if I'm hearing you correctly, if we looked at that second bullet.
The first and second.
Yeah, but let's perhaps, this just thinking on the fly. So
okay, go ahead.
Very much open to suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So leave the first bullet as is, and then just add a couple of words in front of the word errors in the second bullet. So it would come prioritize measures or practices that help prevent repetition of the most commonly occurring errors or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that hit where you're trying to go?
Well, that plus I actually had more of a broader question of, I guess, and you can explain the process to us by how these five developmental areas are actually going to, you know, what's the next step in terms of how they're actually going to be integrated into the work of the NQF.
Well, you know, the purpose of this committee has been to flesh out basically a strategy document. Now it's a matter of trying to, like all strategy documents, get it placed in the high in
place.
The queue with competing priorities of other strategy documents in the organization. But I think if we take the language of these first two bullets along the lines, that actually is a fairly significant shift because it gets us away from kind of a serious reportable event mentality, many of which aren't that common. And it gets us focusing, where is the action happening? Where is the harm, and what are the most commonly caused errors?
Mm-hmm.
That's just my reaction. Are there others who have other ideas, other suggestions? So are you comfortable with an
No, I'm very comfortable with it because I know we talk. It's kind of rewarding to see that it's there. I'm just one of these people who's always thinking, okay, then what will be the next step? And I guess we'll have to wait and see how it gets prioritized within all, as you said, all the other priorities. But it is encouraging to see that those two things that I remember we spoke a lot about a year ago were, you know, didn't make it to the report and made it prominently to the report.
Yeah. Well, it's important stuff. All righty, thanks. That was good. Other closing comments, suggestions, or ideas?
Peter, I know that you do this on an ongoing basis, but I didn't actually find it in the document, namely stating that you're in a continuous process of reappraisal of these measures, because as people adapt to them and you get, say, 100% reporting no issues on a particular measure, that you'll take it out. But I thought that you might want to have it somewhere in here just to indicate that you would be continuously reappraising the value of these going forwards.
Okay, that's a good comment. We'll put that in. Thank you. Okay, well, I'm mindful of the time. We only scheduled an hour for this, and today's comments have been very productive again, and I expect it as such from this group. So thank you very much for that. In terms of next steps, I basically, through the discourse today, wound up mentioning the Serious Reportable Events Project and its ongoing activities. That should close out in the early part of 2011, and we'll make sure that you are made aware of when public comment periods come up on suggested revisions to the Serious Reportable Events. There will probably be a couple that are dropped off, and there'll be additions of some new ones. And as I've mentioned before, we've expanded into ambulatory surgery centers, physician office practices, and skilled nursing facilities. So there'll be lots of reason to make comments. Similarly, I mentioned the framework report, and we'll provide you that link as soon as I get the final tally on our board approvals process. And then I made mention of the Patient Safety Measures Project, which is continuing to move along. And again, there'll be a couple of open comment periods for those as well. And we'll make sure that you're made aware of those. We have ongoing activity that's opened up with interacting amongst the various state-based reporting agencies. And that's turning out to be a very positive platform for discussion to bring some uniformity and some working interaction amongst the different state-based groups. But as well, which I hadn't anticipated, it's actually really opening up the platform of discussion to the federal agencies, CDC, CMS, Office of Healthcare Quality, and ARC. And so we'll be continuing that. And a lot of what we have talked about through this group's discussion is actually very relevant in that platform. And we continue to work with ARC on the development of the common formats for the patient safety organization. So all of this does actually tie together. And I think the main thing, as we just talked a few minutes ago, is taking this strategy document now and trying to get it enacted in a meaningful way over the next year to 2 years as NQF continues to pursue its safety strategy. So that's basically kind of the current status and the projected next steps. Any further questions or any other comments that people would like to make? Well, hearing none, operator, I guess we need to have a request for public comments. If there's anyone on the open listen-only line, if you could ask for that, operator, please.
Absolutely. For those on the phone, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And we have no questions in queue.
Thank you very much. Well, that then brings our formal processes to a close. And what we will do by intimation as I was going through my next steps report is keep you apprised of ongoing developments with the safety portfolio. We'll keep this email group on our agenda, and Eric and I will send you intermittent email updates. There will be no more further organized conference calls or face-to-face meetings, but certainly if we're and when we're able to get some of these activities enacted and we need another advisory group function, then please look forward to us soliciting you again for ongoing development. But for the time being, our work is done, and I would just like to thank each and every one of you very, very much for providing the insights, your expertise, and the inputs. I know we started out with kind of sculpting fog, and partway through the early deliberations, it still felt like it was foggy. But I think by the time we've come through all of this, we have some fairly succinct and fairly tangible commentaries and suggestions in this document, and it will help NQF moving forward. So thank you very much for that, and I'll just at this stage formally close the meeting. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.